Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Ali Dhati Azim Sifat, Sami Simati Kabir Shan, Jalil Al Qadir Rafi'i Dhikri Muta'i Al Amri Jalil Al Burhan, Fakhim Al Ismi Ghazil Al Ilmi Wasil Hilmi Kathir Al Ghufran, Jamil Al Thana'i Jazil Al Ata'i Mijib Al Dua'i Amim Al Ihsan, Sari Al Hisab Shadid Al Iqab Alim Al Azab Aziz Al Sultan, ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بالحق والهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وكفى بالله وكيلا أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Alhamdulillah, we've witnessed a great event, probably one of the landmark events of our generation. And we've noticed and we've been able to observe what people are capable of achieving once they commit themselves to something and once they put their minds and their hearts to a cause. And this is something that fundamentally speaks to us as human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that difficulty, adversity is a natural part of human life. It is a part of the system of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah Himself in the Qur'an, He states that even the nations that came before, this is not just specific to this ummah, but this is one of those universal values. The Qur'an tells us there are certain things that are universal. They are not just specific to us, to this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there are certain things that are universal. One of those types of universal things that has occurred throughout time and throughout the ages and throughout the centuries is that Allah sends difficulty. بَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ Poverty and hunger, unrest, corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent this down upon people. But what is the purpose? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ So that these people, hopefully, possibly, maybe, this will motivate these people, يَتَضَرَّعُونَ to climb out of their heedlessness, to awaken from the deep slumber that they lie in. And the word yatadarra'un literally means that they become extremely humble. They innerly they start to reflect. They reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They realize what the dynamic of their relationship with Allah is meant to be. Yatadarra'un. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُوا وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that what was the purpose, what was the whole point of this test? That if this test wouldn't have even come upon them, that they would wake up and they would realize. وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ But they didn't do that. Rather, their hearts became hard. وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And on top of that, so innerly, the heart, it never awakens. The heart remains asleep. The heart falls even deeper and deeper asleep. And then on top of that, what happens? وَزَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ Shaytan does his job. He beautifies people's actions for them. He makes them feel what they're engaging in is meaningful. He lets them to continue to live this delusion that they live in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, it gets even worse from there. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ Then they completely forget what they had been reminded about. What was the point of this entire situation? Why Allah sent these conditions upon them? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah says we opened the doors of everything upon them. And we learn a valuable lesson here. Wealth, progress, technological advancement, these things, they don't equate success. They don't really equate true and actual progress. Many times these things are just to further bury us into the heedlessness that we're already living in. And this is what Allah says happens to these people. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ All the doors are opened upon them. Allah says we open all the doors of everything upon them. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا Until the point comes when they become completely absorbed, completely enamored, completely infatuated. Farihu means to be happy, right? But in the Quranic vocabulary, in Quranic language, it carries a connotation of celebration. They're partying now. They're celebrating. Completely absorbed and lost in this, in whatever indulgences that they have. And if we think about the indulgences that we have today, whether it be from following sports, to playing video games, to being involved in technology, or from just making more and more money, we constantly upgrade our devices. I mean, just earlier this week, I remember I myself was browsing online. There's a new iPhone coming out. Well, guess what? There's a new iPad coming out. There's always something new coming out. And we become obsessed with just keeping up with this. It's a status symbol now. And we celebrate it. And we live it. And this is completely engulfs us. This becomes the sole purpose of our existence. We define ourselves. From the car we drive and the phone we talk on and the clothes that we wear. That's how we define ourselves today. حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا. But then it doesn't stop there. أخذناهم بغتة. Allah says, all of a sudden we snatch them up. All of a sudden we snatch them up. فإذا هم مبلسون. And then those people overnight, these people thought they were in control. These people thought things were going well for them. All of a sudden they find themselves in a state of complete despair, complete hopelessness. Internally, remember we're talking about the internal as well. Internally they have nothing left. There is no hope. There is no ambition. There is no optimism. There's nothing left. Despair. A darkness of the heart. Imagine what that would feel like. فَقُطِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people who misappropriate the blessings of Allah. People who misplace this trust that Allah has placed in their hands. Whether it be their time, their energy, their money, their talents, their abilities. When they misplace this trust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He completely cuts them off. And the word, the way Allah, the figure of speech that is used here, Dabirul Qawm, means every single one of last one of them is completely wiped away. There's nothing left of these people. You will not find any remnants of these people. There's nothing to show. And so, I wanted to explain this little brief passage of the Quran because it tells us about something very important. It says, difficulty and adversity comes, it's a part of life. But how you handle that difficulty and adversity defines who you are. And that defines not only our well-being here in this dunya, but it also determines what level of inner peace we're able to achieve. What level of the richness of the heart are we able to accomplish? And it most definitely decides our fate and eternal life of the hereafter. And sometimes making the right choice might not be the most popular, might not be the most lucrative in terms of money or finances. But it's a difficult choice. And when we make those correct, difficult choices, there's always good and barakah and blessing that follows. Notice when Allah says He opens the door of everything upon them, He never says the word barakah. The word blessing is not mentioned. But yet in another place in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. That if the people of the town, people that difficulty and hardship came upon, if they would have believed iman, meaning they would have reconciled their relationship with Allah. They would have strengthened their bond and their connection with their Lord. They would have found strength and foundation and stability in their iman. وَاتَّقَوْا. And they would have lived a life of God consciousness. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, we would have opened the doors of the blessings. He doesn't say we would have given them a lot of stuff. No, no, no. We would have opened the doors of the blessings from the heavens and from the earth. And that is what we're looking at the moment. What we're seeing play out before our very eyes. You know, the thing that I find the most remarkable, the thing that has just invigorated me. My parents are not from Egypt. I'm not from an Egyptian background. We're not even from the Middle East. My parents are from the subcontinent. I was born and raised in Fort Worth in Arlington, Texas. I have no idea about Egypt. I've never been there, never seen it. I know Egyptian brothers and sisters. They're my Muslim brothers and sisters. So there's a sense of connection. But other than that, it's not a personal experience for me. But it's just been, it's been so breathtaking. Literally, it feels like I've been holding my breath the entire time. And when reading the news this morning, there was just this relief, as if something personal had just occurred with me. And the thing that was jumped out at me the most about this entire spectacle that we've seen is that, remember, these are young people. And this is a generation that we had written off. Let's not forget, in our private personal conversations, maybe somewhere along the way, sitting and thinking and looking at the young generation. Particularly, I would even venture to say more so, maybe in Muslim parts of the world than even Western parts of the world. We had written them off as a completely disinterested, disconnected generation of people. They have no concern for, they have no social awareness. They have no political ambitions. They're so busy with Facebook and the latest fashions and the latest music and Hollywood and et cetera, et cetera. Image, superficial things that we didn't expect much from this young generation. And it many times makes us very hopeless. It keeps us awake at night. What are these young people? They don't even care about anything. Look in our own country here. What's the percentage of young people who vote in the elections? Little to none. That's why you see political parties and political candidates. Who do they vie for? Not the young vote, they go after the old vote, the senior vote. So this is a young generation that we didn't have a lot of hopes in. But subhanAllah, difficulty came upon them. Adversity came upon them. They were raised in oppression. And we saw that they had the correct reaction. They went out there. They made a statement. They stood up for something. They believed in something. And then probably the thing that has completely set this apart, the thing that has made the entire world fall in love with the Egyptian people, there was not violence on behalf of the protesters. They didn't resort to violence. They didn't resort to underhanded methods. They maintained dignity throughout the process. Amanu wa taqaw. You need iman and you need God consciousness to keep you steady and steadfast. To let you know what is the correct course of action. And not only that, but then there's a subsequent thing that follows after that. And that is, how do you ensure? How do you ensure that you don't become the same thing that you rose up against? How many people who stood up against oppression later on went on to become the oppressors themselves? How many great heroes throughout human history have stood up against the tyrants only to go on and become a tyrant? The examples again, the books are full of them. Human history is full of them. So how do you ensure you don't become the same problem that you fought against, that you spoke out against, that you stood up against? And the Quran gives us that necessary ingredient we have to have. Iman and taqwa. We have to reconcile our relationship and our connection with Allah. That is our foundation. That is the base. When the foundation, these examples have been given. When the foundation's strong, the structure that stands on top of it is strong. And you know, in North Texas here, we have foundation repair, right? Sometimes you have to repair the foundation just a little bit. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you have to tear down the whole building. You just have to repair your foundation. We just have to reconnect with Allah. We have to realize what our relationship is with Allah. And that's the internal part. And that's the ayah I quoted in the beginning of the khutbah from Surah Ar-Ra'd, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ. Allah does not change the condition of a people. That which afflicts the people, that which is connected to a people, the conditions, the circumstances, the situations that are connected to a people. حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Until they change that which is within themselves. That which is connected to each and every single individual. I have to be willing to make a personal sacrifice. I have to be willing to reassess myself, my own priorities, my own goals, my own objectives, my own ambitions. And then when you have 100 people in a room, each person is critiquing, analyzing, and bettering themselves, automatically now you have a group that is collectively improving themselves. And that's what we need. So I wanted to talk a little bit about addressing what we've seen happen. And how that is extremely inspiring and motivating. And there's no harm, there's nothing un-Islamic about being inspired or motivated by seeing people stand up for themselves. Absolutely not. But at the same time, advice to them and ourselves is that once we have achieved the first goal that we set for ourselves, once we achieve that first milestone, that first accomplishment, the job doesn't end there. And the greatest thing that we have to maintain is that taqwa, that what taqwa gives us. God consciousness, awareness and cognizance of Allah allows us to be critical and to constantly maintain and check ourselves. That we have to make sure that we stay the course. We don't lose sight of what we set out to accomplish. And we definitely don't become the problem that we set out to solve. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Now, based on everything that's happened and everything that we've seen and the way we've observed, what can we practically learn from it and what can we take home from it? The first and the foremost and most important thing is, and this is probably something everybody else has been engaging with as it is, but a reminder always helps and always benefits. And that is, continue to remember your brothers and sisters in any part of the world, wherever they're going through difficulty and hardship, and wherever they're involved in a struggle, remember them in your prayers. Remember to make dua for them. That's why dua is the essence and it's the core of servitude and ibadah and worship. Because dua is the most easily overlooked, but at the same time, it's the most easy to practice. It's the easiest thing to do. It's the simplest thing to do. But at the same time, it's the most quickly overlooked aspect of worshiping Allah. And it requires a perspective. It requires that perspective that at the end of the day, they don't control their fate. I don't control my fate. Everything is solely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we beg and we plead and we cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ourselves, for our own betterment, and for our Muslim brothers and sisters, and for all of humanity all over the world. After that, what one very important thing that we learn from this, if you were to sit down somebody who's originally from that part of the world, or you were to sit with somebody from that part of the world, you were to go there and sit with the people there 5 years ago, 3 years ago, a year ago, and you would tell them that what has happened over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you would tell them that this would happen, or what is the possibility of something like that happening, they would laugh at you. They would scoff at you. They would point and laugh at you. And they would tell you that you were crazy, you had lost your mind, that you weren't dealing with reality. That goes to show us that everything that is impossible to us is completely possible and within the grasp and the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only asked us for one thing. There's only one prerequisite and one precondition and requirement. And that is, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When somebody feels like they're completely trapped up in a space, there's nowhere to go, there's no escape, there's no rescue, I am trapped here and that's it. This is what it is. It is what it is and that's it. And I should resign myself to reality and to the way things are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there's still a way out of even that dire of a situation. And that is, again, have awareness, have cognizance, have a connection with Allah. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will continue to make a way for people like that. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will sustain them by sustenance, what is meant, anything and everything that benefits humanity and people. Allah will benefit people from where they cannot even imagine, where they can't even imagine or comprehend. Allah will make a way for people out of those situations. We're all also similarly dealing with some situation or another. And I'm not only talking about the political sphere, I'm even talking about individually. Each and every single one of us has our own personal situation. We have our own individual predicaments. The most important, the most pressing amongst those is our connection with Allah. We're all involved in some type of sin or disobedience of Allah or disconnect from Allah. We all have our own struggles. Each person knows their own. And at times can get kind of tough. At times it can get so tough and so difficult that you can literally sit there and just, you almost feel like there's no way out of this. It is what it is. This is who I am. Things aren't going to change. I've tried. Whether it's a sin or it's something I'm supposed to do and I'm not doing. That feeling sometimes starts to arise within the heart. Shaitan, he fans those flames. And you start to kind of settle, compromise if you will. Oh well, I guess this is who I am. I have certain weak, what am I supposed to do? I've tried my best, I can't do it. And you have to realize at that time that you're settling. You're cheating yourself. You're not being honest and truthful with yourself. Any hurdle, any obstacle can be overcome. Because at the end of the day, we are hopes. It's all about hope. That's what motivates us. That's what drives us. And what do we attach our hopes to? What have we been forbidden from despairing in? The mercy of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us the beautiful supplication. What do we say in it? Wa narju rahmataka. Our hopes are tied to the mercy of Allah. We've been forbidden from losing hope in the mercy of Allah. And what is the nature of the mercy of Allah? Inna rahmati wasi'at kull shay. Allah says, my mercy encompasses everything. My mercy encompasses everything. It surrounds everything. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. My mercy overcomes, supersedes. My mercy overcomes and supersedes even my anger and my wrath, Allah says. Allah's mercy knows no limits. It has no boundaries. It has no limitations, no restrictions. It's always there for us, all the time, constantly, no matter how bad of a situation we think we might be in. No matter how far down in the dumps you think you might have fallen, Allah's mercy is always there and available to each and every single one of us. Pin your hopes to the mercy of Allah, and that'll ensure that you never lose hope. You'll always find a way out of every situation. And so reconnect with Allah by just simply knowing He's always there for you. His doors of forgiveness are so wide open. The Prophet ﷺ gives us such a beautiful analogy. When the Prophet ﷺ says that the Bab of Tawbah, the door of repentance, is as vast as the distance from the east all the way to the west. You know, what do you call, even in English, when somebody has some skeletons in his closet, a dark past, some sins, a history. They call it baggage, right? Somebody has baggage. Well, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, it doesn't matter how much baggage you have, you can walk through that door. You know that narrow doorway? If I'm holding two suitcases, I can't make it through. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, you know, doesn't matter how much baggage you have. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you turn and you connect and you find hope in the mercy of Allah, and truly, sincerely from your heart you connect with Allah, there is always room for you to fit through that doorway. You'll make it through there. Because that's how merciful, that's how compassionate, that's how much Allah loves us. And so many times, and then another situation that we're all struggling in, that's personal to all of us, if it's not our connection with Allah, then it's our relationship with our family members. Again, remember, these relationships are founded in love, in mercy, in compassion for each other. All you have to do is find a little bit of compassion and mercy within your heart and express that to your family members, to your loved ones, and see if it doesn't help repair your situation. We suffer sometimes struggles in terms of community. Again, complete. This is brotherhood and sisterhood. This is based on love. The word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah uses in the Quran when talking to us about the unity that we experience as Muslim brothers and sisters, innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. The word ikhwa is actually in the Quranic vocabulary is a word for biological brothers and sisters, biological siblings, blood. Ikhwan is for more of a figurative brotherhood. But ikhwa literally means biological. A biological, a blood bond. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the strength of your relationship with each other. We can repair ourselves in our connection with Allah. We can repair ourselves with our family members. And we can even fix our relationship with our communities. And even as an ummah, because what are we but a global community? If we can just simply find, again, our hope in the mercy of Allah. And we can find, we can dig out some level of love and compassion and kindness within our hearts, and we can wake up from our hearts, the rest, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, will follow. I had a short, quick, brief announcement here at the end of the khutbah, talking about this concept of love and how to reconcile our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and build a better relationship with our family members in our community. Inshallah, this Sunday, we'll be having an event here at your masjid, inshallah, at the Plano Masjid, titled Love and Live. It'll be a day-long conference and event. Many speakers will be coming, inshallah, and it'll be great lectures and great topics and activities, inshallah, that should be beneficial to everyone. It's an open event. Everyone is invited. Please, inshallah, there'll be flyers outside. Try to make time to visit and try to, inshallah, educate yourself on some very basic issues in regards to our deen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة